This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is part of our episode, Abandoned. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. It wasn't that long ago that everything we heard on the radio, through speakers, through headphones, was recorded, edited, and played on tape, reel to reel. It was a mainstay for us in public radio, that's for sure, and it captured the soundtracks of the 20th and even 21st century. These days, sound recording is totally different. The technology of tape has pretty much been abandoned, but this vintage approach to audio is not totally dead. Alana Gordon has this story.
It was around 2006, and Danny Miller was in a panic.
Ampex, which was the main tape manufacturer, stopped making tape.
No tape being manufactured meant no recording or editing in the way he and his team had relied on for decades. It was at the core of the production magic behind a radio show you might have heard of.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross.
Hurricanes Harvey. Danny is the longtime executive producer of Fresh Air here at WHYY. And for years, the national show used reels of tape to record, edit, and playback shows. They'd mastered a system, part science, part craft.
It's a little dusty, astuter.
Yeah.
Danny shows me an old reel-to-reel machine hiding in the corner of their studio. Imagine a really big cassette tape, flat on a table with two big spools.
Yeah.
Audrey Bentham, Fresh Air's chief engineer, cues up an old reel.
Just the sounds the machine makes and the sounds of the pinch roller hitting the sound. It's just like the sounds of production for the past 20 years, just relics of what it used to be like.
We only have about a minute left, and then our time is going to be up because they need the
Danny says editing an interview recorded on tape, meaning taking out part of the conversation or smoothing out a mistake, was all about using your ears to mark the changes and guide your hands.
You would basically listen, and when you got to an edit point, you would take a little wax marker, make a little white mark.
Then you'd literally cut or splice the tape with a razor blade at a 45-degree angle, take out what you didn't want, and glue it back together. That may seem really cumbersome these days, but reel-to-reel completely transformed how audio was produced.
It opened up all kinds of possibilities for editing.
Susan Schmidt-Horning is a professor at St. John's University and author of Chasing Sound, a book that's all about the history of recording technology. She says the concept of tape dates back to the late 1800s, but magnetic tape and the reel-to-reel process as we know it really took off after World War II.
It was based on a German recorder, the Magnetophon, which was used by Hitler.
Towards the end of the war, U.S. servicemen brought it home. And then, Susan says, this guy caught wind of it.
The Bing Crosby Show.
Bing Crosby wanted an easier way to record and edit his radio show. He got excited about the technological possibilities of this new machine. So he fronted the money for a manufacturer, Ampex, to make one. And with that, the reel-to-reel tape recorder of the 20th century was basically born.
And then he'd roll, roll, roll. Way up the river he would roll.
By the 60s, machines could record multiple tape tracks of separate voices or instruments. The sound quality got better and moved into stereo. But then, you probably know where this is going.
Digital recording replaced tape for many people.
Enter the digital age, totally revolutionizing the industry. No tapes needed, just computer software.
Well, digital came in a couple of different ways.
Jim Anderson is an audio engineer who went through the transition. He teaches at NYU. He's recorded and mixed classical, rock, and jazz artists, and some NPR shows. Jim says the shift to digital began as people got frustrated with some of the limitations of tape, like the distortion sounds from the recording and playback process. Digital didn't really have this issue.
It was a different sound, I think, is what people responded to. The bass would have been clearer, and maybe the top end had a little more transient to it.
Early digital programs surfaced in the late 1970s. They were clunky at first, and the lack of a physical thing to edit and record on was a hard switch. But the reliability and quality of digital improved over the following decades.
It went from being a toy to being ubiquitous.
Digital had a lot of advantages. you could add even more tracks for recording. And editing was a whole new world. It's like a Word document for audio. You can so easily undo and redo, undo and redo. And you could easily edit and shape sounds that would be super complicated, if not impossible, with a razor blade.
Especially in our orchestral work, we can do things that we could never do. The dynamic range that we have available to us.
And digital didn't just make recording easier, it made it more portable. Like this summer, Jim got a call to record Gonzalo Rubalcaba, a jazz pianist. A few weeks later, he was making a major recording.
We went to Cuba and did a recording there in August, and we took with us a laptop, a front end, and some microphones, and it all sat on the size of a card table. You know, and if we had done that in the past, like the guys from Mercury Living Presence in the 50s, they flew a truck to Russia. It's just crazy.
Digital has also democratized the process. People can produce sonic wonders in their basement. But if you think tape has been totally abandoned, think again. Reel to Reel still holds a special place among audio nerds and studio producers.
The War on Drugs, Lost in the Dream record was recorded a lot here at this studio. A lot of that process would be, you know, recording to this 2-inch tape machine.
Brian McTeer is a record producer and owns Minor Street Recordings in Philadelphia, where he's worked on albums for the likes of War on Drugs, Kurt Weill, Hopalong, and Joan Osborne. He stands over his Ampex tape machine, and yes, he records on it all the time.
Recording studios still use tape. They do. And for a lot of reasons. Here, let me show you the tape machine. Let me show you this.
Brian's tape machine is like 300 pounds. It's the size of an industrial washer, and it can record up to 24 tracks. For him, the power of this machine is far more than the type of sound that it records. Recording on tape enforces a musical process. Band members must play together, recording all at once, instead of editing and manipulating sound so perfectly that they're perfectly boring. McTeer says a song, especially in rock and roll, is not just the sum of its parts. The music comes in the way it's played together.
Tape sort of reinforces the necessity of something we're all very used to and something that's very sort of central to what music is, and that is ensemble performance.
Now, Brian also uses digital for editing and recording a lot, but he starts bands off on tape. He uses tape machines for something else, too. Creating a specific sound. We'll even play a digital file through it to produce certain effects.
Like a flange effect would be like there's a drum fill in the middle of Tears for Fears, Head Over Heels, right? Everything stops and the drums go do, 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 do. Sounds like time and space being like peeled apart. That's a flange effect that you can do with a tape machine. It's really fun.
Do you think that in 5 years you'll still be using this thing, or maybe you'll make the switch over to digital?
So I will definitely be using this tape machine for the rest of my life. And if nobody wants it after I'm dead, they should bury me with it.
That's your ender.
That's your ender.
Back inside the Fresh Air studio, Audrey Bentham, the show's chief engineer, fast forwards to the end of the tape reel till it hits the edges as it circles around and around.
It's a classic sound of a tape machine spooling off.
Fresh Air's use of tape spooled off in 2007. Again, executive producer Danny Miller.
We were actually pretty late to digital editing.
Even so, Danny says the language of reel-to-reel is still everywhere in the vocabulary and mindset of the show.
We still refer to everything we do digitally as tape. We talk about, did you get good tape? That was really boring tape.
But once they switched over to digital, they haven't looked back.
Digital is just so much more convenient.
I mean, it's just so easy.
Do you miss cutting tape?
I kind of miss the showing off of the craft. But no, I don't miss cutting tape.